Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good evening, I'm Mangino. Welcome. Great to have you. There's a lot of talk about unifying the country. How we can come together. I mean, we all call ourselves Americans, right? We are the United States of America. There's no talk of one state legitimately wanting to leave, although there was this little side story about a lawmaker in Texas, but that's not happening. Although there is a belief that in America that we could see another civil war. And we are clearly divided along party lines to where verbally we are fighting. It's almost like a civil Cold War, kind of like the Cold War with the Soviets. Didn't actually battle with each other. We just had these aggressions toward one another. And it seems as though a lot of that's going on right now in this country. Is there a way of being able to get back to looking at each other as United States citizens, being first and foremost, or will this continue to rage on? And can a country continue to be what it has been as a world leader, as an economic power, as a dominant force, and be divided all at the same time? Let's talk about this. Spencer Critchley is my guest. He's the author of Patriots of Two Nations, Why Trump Was Inevitable and What Happens Next. Spencer, welcome to KDKA Radio. Good to have you on.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
I appreciate you making time for us. Patriots of Two Nations. What was the genesis of this book?
Well, I worked on both of Barack Obama's presidential campaigns, and I helped out a little bit with Hillary's campaigns in the primary and the general. And I didn't do all that much because I really didn't think I was needed, like lots of other Democratic political people. We all assumed that, of course, she was going to win. And when she lost, I was as shocked as anybody else, and that was really the genesis of this book. I spent the years since 2016 trying to figure out what just happened to me and to the country, much more importantly. And it ended up leading me all the way back through history. I thought that a lot of the analyses I was hearing were partially true, but not the whole story. And what I finally ended up discovering was we have really been divided this way since the founding of the country. And I, you know, it sounds presumptuous to say it, but I think the founders actually made a mistake in their concept for the country as a civic nation founded on Enlightenment reason, and didn't realize that you can't just declare such a thing into existence, as wonderful an idea it was, and it never fully took hold.
And why do you believe that's the case? Why did it not fully ever take hold? This aspect of an Enlightenment reason will guide the path for individuals to ultimately come to wise conclusions.
Right, and we these are the consequences we see now when people talk about it, having the feeling like they're arguing across two completely different realities. As I say in the book, I believe that's actually true, and that those are the two nations that I'm referring to. people feel intensely patriotic on either side of this divide, but they're patriotic to two completely different concepts of what the country is. The reason I think it failed, or partially failed, obviously in many ways the United States has been just a wonderful success, was that the founders were trying to change millennia of human history, which had been based on faith, not reason, and a completely different way of thinking. It's hard for us Enlightenment descendants to even imagine what it would have been like to think in the pre-Enlightenment mode when people believed in witchcraft and signs from heaven. You know, the weather was a sign of God being angry or happy, for example. Believed that your leader was chosen by God and was kind of an expression of the nation itself and had the most noble blood in the nation. You know, it's hard for us to imagine thinking like that, but that's the way people thought for most of human history, in non-rational ways that were also deeply meaningful to them in terms of faith, intuition, culture, art, and their identity, which is a combination of race and culture and religion. And the founders of the United States, acting under the inspiration of Enlightenment thinkers like Voltaire and Rousseau and John Locke and the rest, were tremendously excited by this new dawn of reason as a way of leading humanity forward, and they thought they could found a nation based on reason. And what they didn't realize was there was going to be a counter-Enlightenment. There were people who reacted very strongly against this idea. Some of them were just reactionaries. They were people whose power was threatened, for example, like church leaders or monarchs who were threatened by this, especially threatened by democracy, of course. Mm-hmm. And we tend to dismiss people who resist Enlightenment thinking as just reactionary or backward or whatever. But actually, many of them were very well-educated, very intelligent, deeply thoughtful, including some of the greatest thinkers and artists and writers in history, like the Romantic poets, for example, or the Irish philosopher and politician Edmund Burke, an Italian philosopher not so well known now called Gian Battista Vico. These were very, very smart, thoughtful people, and they resisted the idea that that reason could be the ultimate authority on the subject of what we know and what we should do. They obviously recognize the power of it to create things like science, but they said it's nowhere near enough. It doesn't capture the full mystery and meaning, especially meaning of life. A life that's only lived according to reason feels meaningless, which I think is something all of us can actually relate to. It's something we suffer from in modern society.
What does it need to be, the society that is ultimately created, does it need to be and everything to somebody? I mean, was there a thought that it was taking on a greater role than it really needed to? I mean, we're just trying to figure out a way of getting a group of people to be able to peacefully coexist and decide how to govern themselves, not necessarily look to the government as a way of being able to be the be-all and the end-all for a people's right. existence.
Which, you know, seems to make all the sense in the world and is the way many of us who do live within this Enlightenment modern world live. We consider questions of meaning and morality to be private questions and not the business of the government or society at large. And in fact, what we want is a tolerant, pluralistic society that can accommodate multiple religions and no religion and multiple cultures. However, that very compartmentalization that you and I are talking about right now is also a symptom of the distress that this division causes. There are a great many people who don't want to live that way. And as I say, even those of us who embrace it, and I do, talk about anxiety and alienation and doubt as our constant companions in life, because we have lost the certainty that used to be provided by believing that your particular religious faith was the revealed truth of God, for example, or that your nation had a great destiny and you were a part of it. Instead, we're kind of cast out alone into a potentially hostile and oblivious, which is even worse in a way, universe that doesn't care whether we live or die. Mm-hmm. And many people find that intensely distressing. And even if they're not having an existential crisis about it, many people are deeply attached to their cultures and to their land, and don't like the idea of a kind of, you know, to use the word globalist, culture that isn't tied to any particular location. And these were some of the things that the original counter-Enlightenment thinkers objected to most strenuously. They say there is a difference between a German and a French person and an Italian, for example, and it's very much related to the land they grew up in and their cultural traditions, and it's wrong to pretend otherwise. Unfortunately, also, a part of identity very often is race, which is not actually a scientific concept, but people believe that it's real. And so people tend to think there's an essential character to a race, like the German race, the Italian race, or African races, you know, most notoriously, and that you can rank them in a hierarchy. And so the very, very dark side of the counter-enlightenment is racism and bigotry. Wagner, you know, one of the greatest composers in history, was a deeply counter-enlightenment thinker who was trying to express in his work the essential spirit of the German people and tell the story of German history. And he wrote some of history's most beautiful music, but he also was one of history's most hateful anti-Semites. That's part of this as well.
With us right now, Spencer Critchley. His book is Patriots of Two Nations, Why Trump Was Inevitable and What Happens Next. And we'll talk more with Spencer in a moment on KDK Radio. Good evening, I'm Angino. With me, Spencer Critchley, author of the book Patriots of Two Nations, Why Trump Was Inevitable and What Happens Next. Spencer, so you see Trump as a byproduct of where we are or where we were, not so much of one who created where we are today?
That's right. I think he opportunistically, and I think potentially even instinctively and intuitively exploited the opportunity that already existed. He's a classic demagogue, meaning he exploits nationalism and nationalistic identity and ethnic identity and fear of outsiders and the other in order to essentially just excite people's emotions, and especially their fear and their fear-driven hatred and resentment, and turn that into his own political power. This is the classic playbook of demagogues throughout history, including Joe McCarthy. By the way, and I think it's you know, a very meaningful, hardly a coincidence that McCarthy's lawyer also became Trump's lawyer and one of his chief mentors. But yeah, he didn't create this. As I say, it's been essentially, I think the origins are in the founding of the country, and we've seen it rise up and recede repeatedly throughout history. The worst form of it was the Civil War, which was, first of all, fought over slavery, of course, but it was also a revolt of the counter-Enlightenment world, as I'm describing it, against the Enlightenment. The South was very much like Wagner's Germany in this way. It saw itself as bucolic and innocent and noble, and based in the land and traditions, and very much based on ethnic identity. And it saw the North as industrialized, overly rational, cold-hearted, soulless, immoral, and corrupt and dishonest and financialized. And you can hear how that not only traces back to Wagner, who cast Jewish stereotypical characters as the villains who had the same characteristics as the way I just described the North, but down to the present day when you hear these conspiracies about George Soros supposedly running, you know, this evil cabal of Jewish financiers that are secretly running the world. It's essentially the same conflict between these counter-Enlightenment and Enlightenment worldviews.
So Enlightenment thought that we would be able to see an issue, and then you present your view on how to address the issue, and I present my view on how to address the issue, and then we'll come to some type of a consensus of what is the best way to go about doing this. It sounds as though what you're describing is that we've devolved into, here's the problem, but the biggest problem is not what we're facing, it's the fact that I'm good and you're evil.
Yes, this division creates the opportunity to exploit the divide in moralistic terms, which is what demagogues always do. And we, on the Enlightenment side, and, you know, by descendants of the Enlightenment, I'm referring not just to political liberals, but small-L classical liberals, which would include moderate conservatives, everybody who believes in the Enlightenment tradition of reason and democracy and the rule of law and that sort of thing. So that's what I mean when I refer to liberals. We have, in a way, unintentionally created this opportunity by leaving the gap where meaning is supposed to go, where the meaning and purpose of life is supposed to go, and leaving that up to the individual as a private choice. And so demagogues can swoop in and promise to satisfy people's hunger for meaning and purpose in their lives, especially when they're under stress, like post-World War I Germany, for example, when the Germans were feeling humiliated after their defeat and shocked by the defeat, and then went through tremendous economic hardship. When the Civil War saw their slavery economy under threat, and were when the Confederacy saw the slavery economy in danger and chose to defend that evil institution because they were so terrified of, you know, losing on the economic front and on the cultural front. So the moralism is a tool that gets used. Now, this happens in the other direction as well. People on the liberal side of this will cast Trump supporters, for example, as, you know, some mixture of stupid or evil, and this is routine, and that's been a pattern for a long time as well. It's one of the last remaining acceptable bigotries is to talk about rednecks and this sort of thing. We don't have to have things be moralistic that way, and in fact, in a functioning democracy, political differences should never be moral differences, because we should be operating within a set of moral boundaries that are around democracy. And this is a set of shared assumptions that we all believe in, the essentially moral values of equality, freedom, justice, and democracy itself. And this, I think, describes where we are now. That has broken down, that shared morality, if you will. And as that breaks down, we are now seeing people engaged in behavior that is not just something we disagree with or even strongly disagree with, the way I would disagree with support for Trump. Mm-hmm. We are now seeing actually dangerous immoral behavior, like the assault on the Capitol, for example, and we can't take the time to understand that kind of behavior. You know, I think I kind of understand where it's coming from in the terms I'm describing, but that behavior is simply wrong and dangerous and has to be stopped, and there has to be accountability for
If this is something, Spencer, if this is something, and we're running out of time here, I got like 90 seconds, that we've been battling since the founding of the country, what gives you hope that this battle can continue on and eventually end where what we were intending when we started this endeavor?
The shortest version is we have to reestablish shared values. People on our side of the fence have to stop trying to win this as a rational debate. It's never going to work. We have to reestablish shared values. But in the most immediate term now, given the crisis we're going through, we have to just defend democracy, and there has to be accountability for the people attacking it. And I think we're going to have to go through a painful truth and reconciliation process like Germany, South Africa, Northern Ireland did, and that we never did after the Civil War. And we must do that. And I think it's actually going to take decades.
Well, Spencer Critchley, he's author of the book Patriots of Two Nations, Why Trump Was Inevitable and What Happens Next. Spencer, great talking with you this evening. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Have yourself a good evening. Once again, Patriots of Two Nations, Why Trump Was Inevitable and What Happens Next, available online at all the usual places where you like to get your books if you want to read it for yourself. Stay right there. We'll check in with Jim Bohannon coming up in just a couple of moments, and a lot to look at for tomorrow's show as well. We'll give you a little bit of a peek coming up in a moment on KDK Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.